Good morning and welcome to you. This is the second Sunday in the season of Christmas. And yes, Christmas. And I know the world is of the opinion that Christmas has come and gone, but here in the church, we know otherwise. We know that Christmas isn't a day, that it's a season, and that it goes on for, well, like the song says, 12 days. It ends on Epiphany, which we're not quite to yet. So here we are, second Sunday in the season of Christmas. And Christmas is, in many ways, still very much a part of our lives. Some of us, we're still eating Christmas leftovers, or Christmas cookies, if you're lucky. For a lot of us, that means one particular kind of leftover, and that is the leftover of Christmas, some assembly-required gifts. I don't know at what point the industries of the world decided it was far better to ship items to us with some assembly required. But it was not a positive move for humanity. And one time, I think in history, some assembly required really did mean some assembly required. Nowadays, I feel like some assembly required basically means it's going to arrive in a box and all of the pieces are in the box, and the directions are in the box, but that's all you have, pieces and directions. And the box probably should say complete assembly required. And as a father, I feel like I get a lot of that some assembly required leftovers from Christmas that carry on throughout, well, the weeks that follow Christmas. Now, I'm not complaining. I don't mind assembling a toy. I don't mind assembling a piece of furniture. I don't even mind assembling the various different items that are household items. It's just this notion that some assembly required has become the standard. And nothing comes fully assembled any longer. I just want to get something that I don't have to actually pretend like I'm a factory worker that I'm assembling myself. But of course, some of the most important things in life are some assembly required. Take humanity, for example. Most of the actual assembly for human beings comes out of sight, thank you, mothers. But more to the point, when I say humanity, I mean us as a group. Some assembly has been required throughout the history of humanity. I assemble a lot of things, and they're just things. I am a partial creator. But in today's gospel lesson, John makes it very clear that God is not a partial creator, that the universe came complete assembly required. From the absolute foundation all the way up to the heavens, every single thing required an act of God. And God was the creator. And when he was done, everything that was good was created through God. And in fact, John uses his word for Jesus the Son, which is actually the word, word. He says, through the word, everything good that is came to be. That the universe, you, me, everyone else in it, were assembled by the hand of God because of the Son. And that's an important piece of this story. Because when we're talking about the assembly of the universe, and we're talking about the assembly of us and humanity, we are creations. Our Creator created us. Much like, well, the chair in my office, you might see. That is a creation that I assembled. I didn't cut the wood. I didn't lathe the legs. I didn't tan the leather. But I did put it together when it came in a box. Some assembly required. But at some point somewhere, somebody did all of those pieces. And there's been a lot of assembly required in creating a chair. And when it's done, I look at it and I say, that's a chair. It's a useful thing. I'll sit in it. It will be comfortable in my office. But I don't think of it as anything more than a chair. At best, it's a creation. And so, when John is writing his gospel, he makes it very clear that when God creates the universe, it's just that. It's a creation. It's a creation that God has greater plans for. But as it sits, it's just assembled. And the people in it are just creations. Beloved creations. Creations that God has deep, deep feelings for. Creation that God has incredible plans for. And so the process of assembling the kingdom of God begins. And this one definitely is worse than your average box of toys. This one doesn't take hours. It takes millennia. Thousands of years to assemble this plan that God has to take humanity from mere creations to children. To make us not just things that God made, but the children of God. And I know in popular discussion, it's very common to describe pretty much everybody on the planet as a child of God. And while that may be something that makes sense in common parlance, it actually makes no biblical sense whatsoever. In fact, the scriptures are very clear that God's process of assembling for himself a family is something that takes many phases, requires many steps, and in the end, the finished product is still a work in progress. Let me walk you through this. In the beginning, we have Adam and Eve, and they are God's creation. And they're a special creation. They're a marvelous creation. They are created in the image of God. And they have a relationship with God that immediately becomes broken when Adam and Eve have to leave the Garden of Eden after eating the fruit. So now we have a relationship that's already broken, and in fact remains broken through all of human history. And God interacts with the children of Adam and Eve. Century after century, generation after generation, he speaks to them, and they worship him because God is God. And then he develops a special relationship with them through Abraham. So much so that the children of Abraham just don't say, we worship God because God is God. They say, we worship God because he is our God. He has chosen to create a covenant with us. And as covenanted people of God, we are his people. Before we were no people, we were completely ruptured in our relationship with God. We were merely broken creations. But now the nation of Israel can say, through the covenant of Abraham, we are God's people. And God dwells in our midst. As you move through the line of Moses and all who follow after, God visibly is present in Israel in the Holy of Holies. Until Jesus' death on a cross. When the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple was torn in half, and the Holy Spirit departed. Now what we are told in the Gospel of John is that through Jesus Christ, God assembles the final piece to the great thing that he was creating when he first made the universe. He has created for himself children, sons and daughters. We're not sons and daughters because God made us any more than the chair in my office is my son because I made it. We are sons and daughters because Christ, who is the one unique, only begotten Son, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, from God from the beginning, just like the Gospel of John tells us here in the first chapter, he gives his life for us. And that we are then baptized into him. And that whosoever believes in Jesus Christ is saved. Not just saved, but lifted up to be children of God. We now share the title with Jesus Christ. Just as the Son is a child of the Father, those of us who are a part of the Son, and that is what it means to be Christian. We are a part of the Son, and the Son is a part of us. We are now sons and daughters of God. And some assembly required took thousands of years to accomplish this incredible thing that is the church. The one unique, holy place in which God looks at humanity and says, those are my children, my beloved. Not because we're perfect, but because we are perfectly forgiven, perfectly renewed, perfectly brought into the kingdom through belief in Jesus Christ. I said that this incredible thing is a work in progress, because there is a whole world of people out there who are beloved of God, but not children of God, because they don't believe in Christ. It is our role to speak the truth, the good news, the welcome, the hope that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ, and only from the gospel of Jesus Christ to all who will hear it. We are those who are now helping God assemble the kingdom of God. Now, the Holy Spirit's doing the work. The Holy Spirit inspires faith. The Holy Spirit brings salvation. The Holy Spirit moves the church, but we're its hands. We are those who are called upon to speak the words of the gospel, to invite people to faith, and to teach people through not only our words, but our deeds and our actions, how the church looks and lives. And through this, we help in the assembly of the kingdom of God that we live in. Ultimately, of course, God does the real work. We are the assistants. Nothing more nor less than the folks who basically are in charge of holding the tools for God while he builds this incredible thing. But what an amazing role we have. So I say to you all today, rejoice. Rejoice that in the birth of Jesus Christ that we celebrate during the season of Christmas, we see our own birth. For as Christ is born, so too are we. Christ who is born Son of God, and we who inherit that from him. Merry Christmas to you all. God bless.